In your life. Amen. Amen. This is 139 in your hymn book. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me.
Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was
had no peace within till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. And then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides. Rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that He's abiding with us? Amen. He promised He'd never leave us or forsake us. Amen. So we believe that this morning. Good to see you this morning. I know the weather's a little cold outside, but thank God it's not only warm with the temperature on the inside, but the Holy Ghost and fire on the inside as well. So good to be in church. And Lord willing, instead of our regular evening service tonight, we'll be having a watch night service starting at 9 p.m. And as far as I know, the weather won't interfere. They're showing about a 15% chance this afternoon, but probably about 9 o'clock, it'll be about a 5% chance of precipitation. So we'll keep an eye on that. If it looks like it's getting too rough, we'll update the website and let you know if there is any type of cancellation. But at this point, we are planning to have service tonight at 9 o'clock. So remember that in prayer. And we'll go through till about the midnight hour for that, for the watch night service. Also wanted to update you, we had taken up a couple of mission offerings two Sundays ago and last Sunday for the work we've been doing for the orphanage there in India for Brother Boaz and the work that he has there. And the total that was taken up from the church in those offerings and those that gave around that time was $7,328.49. So thank you very much. Amen. So I certainly appreciate, you know, for a church this size to give like that. Brother Layton and I were just talking about how, you know, it means a lot to see that a church this size can give like that. And certainly appreciate it. I know it'll mean a lot to them as they're working on this building project, building that second orphan's home there. And we've been showing you the pictures and things of that, the progress. So certainly happy to hear that. Brother Robert Marrero from New York, his mother's doing much better, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And Brother Boaz from India, we've been praying for him. He's doing much better as well, so want to give the Lord praise. And then this is from Sister Dottie, my mother. She says, 2 days this week, I had symptoms of a UTI. On Friday evening, Brother Nathan came by to pick up Philip, and they had prayer for me before they left. By the time I went to bed that night, all the symptoms were gone. I was healed. I just wanted to give the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise and glory. So praise the Lord for that. And Sister Layton had a testimony. For 15 years, she hasn't had the sense of smell, and the doctors began to look and found out that they thought there were some things they could do medically for her in the way of surgery. So she had outpatient surgery a few days ago, and she said, just wanted to thank the church for praying for me. God answered my prayers. God is on the throne. My smell is coming back. Thank the Lord. The surgery went well, Sister Layton. So praise the Lord. Amen. We serve a mighty God. And, you know, Brother Bam said that God heals through medicine. He heals through doctors. He heals through touch. He heals through love. He heals through music. He heals through all kinds of different ways. So any way that the Lord wants to heal is fine by me. Amen. Amen. And so we certainly appreciate those testimonies this morning. And we've got quite a few prayer requests. There's many that are out due to sickness this time of year. And Brother Trevor, he's preaching for Brother Luis in Lexington this morning. So I want to remember him in prayer for the service and for Traveling Mercies back home. They're going to try to be back this evening for the service. Brother Trevor is, I think, part of the family's here this morning. So, and then Sister Stephanie and Nathaniel Duvall, they're traveling home from visiting family as well this afternoon. So I want to remember them in prayer. Brother Buckles, he traveled to Arizona. He's going to be gone for a few weeks. So just want to remember him in prayer for
traveling mercies and a safe trip back home. And while he's there and all that he does, the Lord just keep his hand upon him. Brother Hoover, he was feeling dizzy and lightheaded this morning. We had a word of prayer for him in the office earlier, but want to continue to remember him in prayer. Brother Lance Pruitt, Brother Layton, I think, had put in a prayer request. He has the flu. Sister Emma Harambasic, she's not feeling well. And little Savannah Soderquist, she's not feeling well. Sister Darla Weber, she's not feeling well. Sister Sizemore, she's not feeling well. This time of year, you know, the sickness just begins to battle different ones, and we know what that's like. So we want to lift them up in prayer that the Lord will restore their health and bring them back to church soon. And also my cousin, Brother Richie Keith, he hurt his back pretty bad earlier this week, so I want to remember him in prayer. And my Aunt Wanda, she's still suffering with diverticulitis, so I want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Jason Watkins, his dad that we've been praying for, the doctors don't give him much hope, but we know that God still can bring back a good report, even when the doctors bring back a bad report. But he's got several different infections, bacterial infections in his lungs that are very hard to combat. And the doctors, they have him on life support and things now because he's unable to breathe on his own due to the condition with his lungs. And they're fighting it with a very, I guess, invasive treatment that's about the only hope medically at this point. And even that, they said it's such a strong treatment that could actually take his life as well, but it's their only chance medically at this point. So I want to remember him in prayer that the Lord will just strengthen his body and deliver him from these bacteria. You know, they have all kinds of different names from these things, but Brother Branham called it demons in the physical realm. And so we know that it's just a spirit that's attacking his body in a physical way. And so we want to lift him up in prayer that the Lord just come on the scene and bring him up off of that bed. So how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Eduardo, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this morning?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord God, with grateful hearts, Lord Jesus, we come this morning not only to this church, Father, but to your presence, Father, knowing that you are a God answering prayer. Lord God, thank you, Father, this morning for your great mercies. Lord Jesus, we see your hand on every man and every second of our lives. Lord Jesus, when we go through things, Lord God, that we cannot tell, we cannot get through situations, Father, you always make a way, Father. Brother Nathan has read and spoken about this request, Lord Jesus. Many are very critical, Lord Jesus. Like the man, the brother, who is having that situation with his lungs, Father. Us men, we cannot do nothing, Father, but you can do a miracle, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Father, this morning to intercede for that brother, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch his body, Lord Jesus. Many of us around here, Lord Jesus, children and people with different problems, Lord God, this morning I ask you, Lord God, to heal everyone, Father, according to abundant mercies, Lord Jesus. May you help us this day, Father. May your sweet presence, Lord Jesus, be among us, Father, this morning. And we will give you the glory, Father, for it, Lord God. I'd like to remember Brother Trevor too, Father. Yeah, he's preaching for these brothers on his church, Lord Jesus. We ask you to anoint him afresh, Lord Jesus, that people over there can hear from God this morning, Lord Jesus. And ourselves, Father, we come to this place, Lord Jesus, not to see one another, Lord God, but we come to see you, Father, among these people, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercies, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to be with us in the continuing of this service, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Good morning again, church. We're going to be reading the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalm. Probably the most familiar to most people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. God bless you. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 45 in your hymn book.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure.
In the name of Jesus.
every chain. Lord, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. He can break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Oh, I can feel all my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel every chain of doubt and unbelief is falling. Every chain, break every chain. Oh Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army that's rising up. I know God's army, she's rising up. Oh, break every chain, break every chain. Oh Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I'd like to remind the devil that there's still power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is. Jesus, Lord, come and break every chain. Oh, break every chain. He's able this morning to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Break every chain. Oh Lord, come and break every chain. Oh, why don't we stand and sing it this morning? There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power. It's in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know there's power. It's in the name of Jesus. And break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. He's more than able this morning to break every chain, every circumstance that you're facing, everything that you're going through. Maybe difficult times for you. Maybe you're facing things that you've never faced before in your life. Maybe Satan coming out like a roaring lion trying to just attack your family, your finances, your physical health, whatever it would be. But greater is he.
Amen.
Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen. We serve an awesome God this morning.
Amen.
He's all powerful. He's all knowing, infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent. Nobody else has that claim. Amen. When Jesus Christ was here in a flesh body, he said, I do always that which pleases the Father. There's never another man in shoe leather that was able to say that. We try our very best. Prophets, sages, priests, kings down through the ages tried their very best to do what pleased the Father. But every one of us, there was some point in time where we didn't quite come up to the place we should. But he said, I always do that which pleases the Father, because all that the Father was, he had poured into Christ. But we don't want to stop there this morning. He also said that all that he poured into Christ, he poured into the church.
Amen.
Amen. So we recognize that Jesus Christ is still on the earth today, not in body form as far as a physical body of flesh that we can see him, but he's physically on the earth in the form of bride.
Amen.
He's still working in a many-membered bride. Maybe you have a small part. Maybe you have a medium-sized part. Maybe you have a great big part. I don't know what your part is, but if you're part of the bride of Jesus Christ this morning, he will manifest himself some way through you physically on the earth, his attributes. Brother Branham said it this way, and we take it for granted many times, but he said, he has no lips but our lips, no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. So if Jesus Christ is going to do something on the earth today, in 2017, getting ready to be 2018, he's going to do it through a member of the bride.
Amen.
He's going to do it through somebody. Maybe it's just getting a tape in somebody's hand. Maybe it's making a tape. Maybe it's printing a book or typesetting a book. Maybe it's going and witnessing to your neighbor or somebody at your work or somebody at your school. Maybe it's just living a life down at Walmart or at Kroger or before your children.
Amen.
But he's got something for you to do. There's ministers and ministries, but Brother Branham said every one of you, even the housewife, has a ministry. So Jesus Christ is still moving and working and acting in bride form this morning. Amen. Brother Ram said, don't put it all up here on the platform. It's not just the anointed man on the platform. He said, that's what the Catholic Church did. But he said, the congregation's anointed as well.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, again to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We want to continue with this thought of by faith that we've been looking at. We want to pick back up with this familiar story. Even the youngest Sunday school child probably is aware of David and Goliath. But it seems like no matter how many times that we hear it, the Lord quickens something that maybe we've never thought of. I was telling Brother Hoover, even in my studying and things a few weeks ago when we looked at this, which we kind of took a different path for Christmas, but a few weeks ago in studying and things, when I got up here and began to preach, I'd never thought of it from Jesse's perspective, the way that the Lord brought it out there, that how that, you know, when he sent David with the cheese and the bread to go help his brothers, he was expecting a good report back, hoping that they were okay, they weren't injured, that the battle was going good, but he wasn't expecting when word came back that the battle is over, and that little boy you sent with the cheese and bread cut the head off of a giant. There's no way he could have imagined that that was what the report was going to be that was going to come back. That wasn't what his expectation was. Maybe it wasn't even what David's expectation was, but God is more than able to do what's necessary to get the job done.
Amen.
Sometimes he does it through somebody. You know, we've had theologians and intellectuals and professors and teachers, and we would have never picked, if we was picking, a humble Kentuckian to be the one to reveal the seals to us and do all the great things, the miracles and things that would happen in this age. But God knew exactly how to do it. Amen. To get our attention. I'm glad he picked a humble Kentuckian that I could relate to. Amen. God bless you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and want to begin at verse 32 this morning. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look at this thought again this morning, I just ask that you would help me, Lord, to get myself out of the way. Lord, we're not interested in the thoughts of a man or the opinions of a man or some legalistic idea, but we are interested in your word, Father. And Lord, as we begin to look into your word and we begin to see what the prophet taught and what the scriptures say, Lord, may you help me, Father, in my inadequacy. Lord, I know I'm inadequate, and in my own ability, Lord, I have none. But Lord, we're not depending on Nathan Bryant this morning.
Right.
We're depending on you, Father. And Lord, I just ask that you would quicken something to me that, Lord, would be a help to the people. Lord, maybe they're facing different circumstances in their life right now. May you, Lord, just quicken something that would encourage them along their way to give them strength for their journey. Lord, we all need a little encouragement, Father. And Lord, whenever we begin to look into the quotes in the scriptures, and Lord, I've never walked away discouraged by one of them, but Father, it always brings encouragement. So Lord, help us, Father, to lift you up, Father, so that others could see you. For you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Lord, may it be so this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. As we looked at a few weeks ago, David, when he comes and he begins to tell this to Saul, Saul does what a lot of message people, at least so-called message believers, do in this age. When somebody rises up that's got a zeal for the Lord to do something for the Lord and maybe even anointed to do it, if we're not careful, we'll begin to try to discourage that instead of trying to encourage it. And he does this very thing. Instead of encouraging the only one that was willing to step forth and do something about it, here Saul was, as far as physical capability, he was the best candidate in the whole Israelite army to go out and face this giant. He was head and shoulders above the rest of the men in the army. He had been trained. He knew how to use a sword. He knew how to use a spear. He had a shield. He had armor. As far as physically speaking, he was the most capable of anybody there to deal with this situation. But we find him hiding in his tent, and David gets up early that morning, the scripture tells us, and he gets in the carriage and he rides maybe a large portion of the day to get to where the battle's actually taking place from where he'd been out there tending his father's sheep. And when he gets there and he begins to hear the news of the battle, he begins to ask them some questions about what's taking place. And as they begin to tell him, he begins to take courage, not because he had been trained so much as a soldier, but because he'd had an experience with God. And while some of these others had been trained, they had, you know, they'd gone through the motions, they had gone through some of the different acts and works of being able to pick up a spear and throw a spear and pick up a sword and handle a sword. But yet this man was not just trained, but he had experience. And so he begins to say that, hey, I'll go out and face this giant. And they said, well, let's send him to Saul. And they bring him into the tents of Saul. And he begins to tell him how that, you know, don't let any man's heart trouble him for fear, because I'll go out and I'll face this giant. And here Saul looks down at this little boy. Here he was, Brother Branham said he was about 4.5 feet tall. And here this giant, 9'2", more than twice this little boy's height, probably more than twice his age by the looking at the scriptures and things. He would have been about 14 or 15 years old at this time. And he looks down at this little boy and he says, look, you're but a youth. And this man has been a warrior since his youth. You're not able. You're inadequate. You're incapable. And David, instead of, you know, getting beat down by somebody else's opinion like we do many times if we're not careful, when somebody says, you'll never make it, you'll never keep your salvation, you'll never get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll never get your healing, instead of letting that impact him and affect his opinion and affect his spirit and affect the environment that was around him, you know, Brother Branham said, we create an atmosphere. And we can either, whether it's at your home or whether it's at your job or whether it's at your school or when you go out to your places of errands and things, you can either create a positive atmosphere around you or you can create a negative atmosphere around you. And many times, you know, people's opinions about you, it's not just about your looks or your height or your weight or your clothes or whatever it would be. Many times people's opinion is built on the atmosphere that you create around you. And you get around somebody that, oh my, they've always got something good to say and always talking about the Lord and always something positive, and no matter what they're going through, they still recognize I'm blessed, you know, and there's other people going through worse things, and you know, the Lord's doing just exactly right what's supposed to take place and all things work together for good. You get around somebody like that and you think, my troubles aren't so bad after all. But you get around somebody that every time you see them, it's all, my, I'm just going through something and it's just been terrible and there ain't nobody going through what I'm going through, and always negative, and did you hear what so-and-so's doing? Did you hear what this one's doing and that one's doing? And oh, this one's saying this and this one's saying that. Always something negative, and you come away feeling like you just ran about a 16-mile race. They've wore you out so much with all their negativity. You think, goodness gracious, get me around something positive. Brother Bram said, we create that around us. And you can get out of bed in the morning and you can drag yourself around and drag everybody else down with you. Or you can get out of bed and say, I don't care what I'm facing. I don't care how many giants are standing before me. I serve a God that's more than able.
Amen.
Amen. You can look back down through your life, and just like David, he begins to have a testimony meeting with Saul. He said, look, I recognize that I may not look very much like anything to you. I recognize that I may not look like a mighty warrior, and I may not have a helmet of brass, and I may not have a shield and a spear and a sword, and I may not look very experienced in the ways of war, but let me tell you about some experiences. And he begins to go back and have a testimony and tell him about the things that had taken place in his life, how that the Lord had delivered him from the hand of a lion, and when he went to get the sheep back from the lion, and how that he delivered him from the hand of the bear when he went to get the sheep back from the bear. And he said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear when they weren't making a threat to God or God's army, or when they weren't making a threat to say things evil against the Lord or the message of his day, he said, if God could deliver me from this bear and this lion, how much more this uncircumcised Philistine that's defied the armies of the living God? He had a testimony meeting of the experiences that he had had, and many times we need to, instead of looking at the current circumstance and saying, oh my, this is terrible, and this is a bigger giant than I've ever faced, and my, he's got a wider neck, and he's higher in height, and he's stronger, and he's more experienced, instead of looking at all the negativity, we need to look and say, look, but I remember when I couldn't pay my bills one time, and God provided, and I remember when the doctor said that I couldn't live, and God came on the scene and delivered me. And I remember one time when my children was out in the world and God brought them back to me, and the same God that did those things back then, he's still more than able this morning to deliver me from this battle. Oh, it's time we have a testimony meeting and remind the devil of some of the things that God's did for us. But we get so caught up in the circumstance. Oh, but I'm facing this. And oh, Satan has done this in my life and this and this. And we focus on that. Why don't we focus on what God has did for us down through the history of our life? Where that he brought us from, and how that he's taken care of us and provided for us, healed us when we were sick, saved us when we were lost, filled us when we was empty. Yes, sir. Oh my, we could have a testimony this morning. Amen. Of what God has done. And the same God that did those things, like the lion and the bear, he's more than able this morning for whatever you're facing. Amen. You say, but this is a bigger giant. It'll just be a bigger testimony. Right. Amen. Perseverance. 1962, Brother Bram says, what did he say? He said, I was hurting your servant, my father. I was hurting his sheep out there. One day I trust in the Lord God, and a lion came in and took one of the lambs, and I went after him. Why? He was given a charge led by his father, and I knocked him down. Now here, David has been commissioned by his father with a job. He said, go out there and watch these sheep. He didn't tell him what to do when a lion came. He didn't tell him what to do when a bear came. He just said, go watch the sheep. And he counted these sheep, and he had numbered them, and he knew how many was in the flock. And a lion comes in and grabs one of them. He thinks, oh, goodness, I can't just let this go. My daddy knows how many sheep were in this flock, and I can't just let it go and pretend it didn't happen. But he raises up with the little sling that he'd been practicing with out there. And you know, he wasn't just wasting his time being idle. Many of the Psalms that we read and are encouraged by today, he was penning out there in the desert watching these sheep. And he begins to get his sling. No doubt he'd been doing a little target practice. But it wasn't so much that it was his ability as a great sling thrower or stone thrower. It wasn't so much that it was his ability as a great marksman, but it was that God was with him and protecting him and watching over him. And he realizes, I've been given a charge, and I may not know exactly how this is going to all work out, but I've been given a charge, and I'm going to stay right in the line of duty. And he gets up and he gets this stone and sling, and he slays the lion and he slays the bear. He was given a charge by his father, and I knocked him down, he says. And when he raised up, I slew him because I was left with the charge. He says, oh, minister, brother, we're left with the charge. A lion comes in and gets one of his servants and takes it out. I'm coming with a slingshot this morning. Right. A slingshot of prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall raise him up. What he said, we're coming after him to bring that lamb back to the fold. Amen. Many times, if we're not careful, somebody begins to get pulled off into some of this fanaticism, looking at websites they shouldn't be looking at and reading things they shouldn't be reading. And before they know it, they begin to question the message and they begin to walk away. We shouldn't just let them go and say, well, they went out from us because they wasn't one of us. It's time that we raise up with a slingshot of faith and go and say, look, you know, I may not be able to explain it all, but I can get you to somebody that can tell you that some of these things that they're claiming are false. Some of the claims and the boasts that they're making are absolutely false. And we have the proof and we have the testimonies and we have these things. It's time to raise up with the slingshot of faith instead of just letting them go on. When somebody gets sick and the doctor says there's no hope, we don't just say, well, I guess it's just God's will that they're not to be with us anymore. No, it's time to raise up with the slingshot of faith called the prayer of faith shall save the sick and go out. We've been given a commission by the Father that they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
Amen. That wasn't just to the prophet. That wasn't just to the pastor. That was for the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He told his disciples, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel.
Right.
He told them to lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Right.
He told them they would speak in tongues. And he told them that they would do all these things that would take place, these miracles. You go back and look at St. Mark 16. We've been given a commission by the Father. Now, we can sit idle and just depend on somebody else to do it for us, or you can recognize, I have a part in this.
Right.
Amen. Not just up here on the pulpit. You have a part in this. You can recognize, I have something to do. I have a little slingshot of faith. Oh, it may not seem like very much, but whatever you can do. Remember when God dealt with Moses in the backside of the desert there, he said, what's that in thy hand? He said, it's just an old staff. He said, that's enough.
Right.
When he dealt with Samson out there in the wilderness, when there was 1,000 Philistines coming to take him, he said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's just an old jawbone of a donkey. It's the only thing I've got here. He said, it's enough.
Right.
Amen. When the little boy came with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he said, what's that in your hand, little boy? Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not enough to feed a multitude. He said, oh, it's enough. It's enough. Many times we look at our inadequacy and, well, all I've got is this. All I can do is sing, or all I can do is testify, or all I can do is get on the phone and encourage somebody. It's enough. You give it to God. You give to God whatever little bit of something he's got. Maybe he's called you to a position. Maybe it doesn't even have a title to it. Maybe you're a housewife. Maybe you're just a good godly man at work out there, but he's called you to something, and whatever you have to put your hand to, maybe it's just a tract, or maybe it's a book or a tape, or maybe it's a testimony of what God did for you in your life to turn you away from the things that you used to do. It's enough.
Yeah.
Amen. Just put it in God's hands and see what he can do with it. We're coming back after him, he says, to bring back that lamb back to the fold. He said, we need you. Every Christian, we need every one of you. We need you. We got to have you. Fathers, give us a charge. Let's go get it. Let's keep charge. Now, many times, you know, we get this mentality around the message. If we're not careful, we have all of these tiers, you know, and you know, we put this one on this tier and this one on that tier, and due to their spirituality or due to their experience or due to their testimonies of, you know, well, they hunted or fished with the prophet, or they're a minister brother, or they're a relative of Brother Branham, or they were this or they were that, or we put Brother Branham way up here, and we have all these tiers in our mind that we put people at. Well, this guy, he was just saved last night, so he's way down here, and then this brother, he's been in the message for 30 years, so he's here. This brother's been in the message for 60 years, and he hunted and fished with Brother Branham. He's here, and then we put Brother Branham way up here, and then, you know, we put Jesus just a little bit higher than him. Brother Branham said, you go back and look at it. He said, I'm no more than the drunk that was saved last night in God's eyes. And we get this idea, well, bless God, I've been around the message for 57 years, and I know this, and I know that. In God's eyes, he's not a respecter of persons.
Right.
Now, I know we've read it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it, but we don't really believe it many times if we be honest with ourselves. God is not a respecter of persons. God does not look at you and say, Brother Jimmy, you listened to 13 tapes this week. You're more spiritual than Brother Weber because he only listened to 5. And God doesn't put you on levels like that because of your works.
Amen.
Now, your brother or your sister might. Don't think when I'm saying these things that I'm discouraging you from listening to tapes. I want you to listen to tapes all that you can. I believe in listening to tapes.
Right.
Amen. I believe in playing tapes in church. But don't you think that just because you press play, or because you open up the pages of your Bible, or because you hit your knees for a certain amount of time, that that makes you self-righteous, or that makes you saved, or that makes you better than somebody else.
Oh.
It's only by the grace of God that we're going to make it. It's only by the grace of God that we saw this. It wasn't my works. It wasn't how many hours I spent on my knees. It wasn't how many hours of tapes or how many hours and chapters that I spent in my Bible that saved me. It was the grace of Jesus Christ that saved me. Amen. I recognize this morning that Brother Branham's gift would outweigh mine, and we could, as Brother H. Richard Hall, a Pentecostal evangelist that never really fully recognized who Brother Branham was, but he made this statement in, I believe it was Terrell's book, All Things Are Possible, David Harrell. He said, you line up every evangelist on the field today and place Brother Branham over on the other side, and his ministry would outweigh all of theirs. I can say amen to that. Amen. I'm not too proud to be able to say amen to that. Amen. He was called to a higher gift. God did more miracles through his ministry than most of us brothers combined will ever do in our lifetime. He was called to a greater gift, but that doesn't mean that God loved him more or that God's going to give him more eternal life than you have. Eternal life is eternal life. Amen. Even those that get in, the foolish virgins, I don't want to be a foolish virgin. I don't want to come that way, but they'll still have just as much eternal life as I have. Amen. Eternal life, there's no outweighing that, well, Brother Layton gets 37 more seconds of eternal life than I do. No, God's not a respecter of persons. He gives different people different gifts and different abilities and different talents, but if we're not careful, we begin to look at that and we begin to place people in categories and say, Brother Nathan's more spiritual, he's the pastor, and this one over here, they're this and that. You better be careful about categorizing people and placing so much importance on persons and personalities, except the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that we lift up. Amen. I recognize that he did more through Brother Branham's ministry than he even did in his own when he was here on the face of the earth. But it was him that did it through Brother Branham. Amen. We've seen cancers healed, disappear off of people's heads. Don't give Nathan Bryant the glory for that. It wasn't Nathan Bryant's hands. Oh, it might have been my hands and Brother Hoover's and Brother Layton's that laid on the sister, but it was God that did it. Amen. Amen. It's not Nathan Bryant that gets the glory. We've seen scoliosis heal. Little Olivia Harambasic with her spine like that, 2 inches shorter than she should have been. And I've got the x-rays to prove anybody that would like to dispute it. We've got the x-rays from her chiropractor before and after, crooked and straight. Amen. It wasn't Nathan Bryant that did that. No. It was just God working through human beings again. Amen. Moses couldn't thump his chest and say, look what a great guy I am. I brought all these 2 million people out of bondage, out of Egypt. It wasn't Moses that did it. It was God that did it through Moses. Amen. It was God that got the glory. David, when he goes, and we'll look at it here in a little bit if we can get to it. And when he goes and he makes the challenge to the Philistine, he doesn't say, I'll take off your head so that I can get the glory. He said, I'll take off your head so that the nations can know that there's a God in Israel. Amen. It was God that got the glory. Amen. Now, it's okay to look at a brother. It's okay. We look at Brother Branham. We thank God for the sacrifices that he made, the hours that he spent in prayer to be able to stay back there and be able to pray through, to be able to go out in the prayer lines and God be able to anoint him. He could get himself out of the way so much. He said, I have a gift. And he said, it's like pulling into another gear. He said, it's to get myself out of the way so that I go somewhere else and he comes in. And he said, he grants me temporary resurrections, that my spirit goes somewhere else and his spirit comes in. And William Branham could stand there and say, now I don't know you and I've never seen you and I don't know who you are. And then God could come in and say, this is your address, this is your doctor's name, this is what he looks like, this is what he wrote on the chart, this is what happened to you when he was a 12-year-old little girl, this is why you're sick, this is how you're going to be healed, and this is when it's going to happen. It was God that did that, but he was working through human instrumentality because he has always will work through human instrumentality. He said, I'm God and I change not. Brother Branham preached a sermon in 1964. Does God ever change his way of doing things? And he said emphatically, he doesn't. So if God did something in one age and he comes around and does it different in this age, he'd have to go back and apologize to that age that he did it wrong over there and come up with a better way over here. Right. We're like that. We can learn and we can grow and we can do things better. But whatever God did to the first place, he did it right 100%. There was no better way that he could do it. Amen. So it's God that gets the glory. God selects vessels and he raises those vessels up just like he did David, and he gives them some child training, and he gives them gifts, and he gives them ways that he can use them for the help of the body of Jesus Christ. But it's not the vessel that gets the glory. When I go in and I get a glass out of the shelf and I go in and I'm about to thirst to death, I've been out in the yard working and my throat's dry and scratchy, and I get me a big old glass of triple filtered H2O with electrolytes added into it to restore my strength back and all that, and I begin to go in there and I get that glass down, I fill it up, and I begin to take a big drink of it, I don't say, oh my goodness, that cup tasted so good.
Come on.
That cup is so wonderful. That cup is so, oh, what would I do without this cup? Now the cup was holding what I had need of, but it wasn't the cup that tasted good. It wasn't the cup that restored my strength. It wasn't the cup that quenched my thirst. And many times we look at people, and if you're not careful, you'll begin to look at me. And, you know, we get Nathanites and Branhamites and all kinds of ites, and, you know, that's all right to a certain extent. But when you begin to look at me and say, nobody can quench my thirst like Brother Nathan can, it's not Brother Nathan quenching your thirst.
Right.
I don't want to scare you this morning, but it wasn't even William Branham that was quenching your thirst. It was the voice of God speaking through a human vessel. Amen. Not so that we could lift him up equal with Jesus Christ, but so that we could say, thank God that there was a vessel that was cleansed. Thank God that there was a vessel that Jesus Christ picked up out of the miry clay and cleaned and set aside for service and then filled him so full that he was running over so that he could come and God could work through him to quench my thirst in this age. Thank God for men like Paul and Irenaeus and Polycarp and different ones that God worked through and lived through and acted through in every age. It's not the vessel that gets the glory. If we're not careful, we begin to lift up the vessel. It's not the vessel that gets the glory. It's Jesus Christ that gets the glory.
Amen.
Amen. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't come and, you know, place more emphasis and say, well, Brother Barry, he's a certain way, so, you know, I love Brother Barry a little bit more than I love Brother Randy. No, that's not how it works. God is not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
And what he did for somebody else, he can do for you this morning.
Amen.
If he healed so-and-so back in some other age, he can heal you this morning because he loves you just as much, and there's just as much word for you as there was for them. Amen. We're not talking about gifts and things like that. We recognize that God has called some to higher gifts and higher ministries and ministrations, but that has nothing to do with your salvation or your healing. Brother Branham said if he never preached another day in his life, he said that wouldn't have nothing to do with my salvation or my eternal life. He said that just means that I do these things because I love him so much. He loved us so much that we want to do things for him because we love him so much. Amen. But Jesus Christ, not being a respecter of persons, if he saved me under one condition and under one law, and he comes along and he says, well, I don't like Brother Jeremy back there as much as I do Brother Nathan, so I'm not going to save him when he comes to the same conditions and the same obedience and the same faith, then God's a respecter of persons. But no, when God sets a law in place of faith, whether it's for salvation or healing or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we all come on the same grounds, and when we approach him with the same attitude, Brother Bram said, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass.
Amen.
That's for you this morning.
Amen.
That's not just for somebody back in 1959 or back in AD 30 when Jesus Christ was here or back in AD 60 when Paul was preaching. It's for you this morning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Bram said the greatest trick the devil ever played was to get you to look back to what God did in some other age and get you to look forward to some other thing that's coming and fail to recognize what God is doing right now in this age.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. He comes out and he stands. There was a valley between them, and the Israelites would stand on this side on one mountain or hill, and the Philistines would come and stand on the other side of the hill, and he would come out there and he would make his boast, send out a man to fight me. There's no need for all of us to die. There's no need for thousands of Israelites and thousands of Philistines to die in this battle. Send out a man to fight me, and if he wins, then we'll all serve you. But if I win, then you'll all serve us. Satan loves to make these kind of boasts when he thinks that the advantages are to his side. But then in verse 20, it says, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he come to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in an array, army against army. I just want us to think about this, because sometimes I don't think we recognize what was actually taking place. But for 40 days, this man had did this. And for 40 days, they got out of their tent, got out of their cot that morning, stretched, and went over and strapped on their sandals, put on their buckle and their put on their shield and their spear and their helmet and their armor, their chain mail and all that. And they go out there and they stand, they line them up, they got them all lined up, and they march out there to the side of the mountain ready to fight. And they begin to shout for battle and to stamp their spears, and the Philistines do the same thing. They get out of bed and they go through all this routine. They get out there and they stand ready for battle. And this man comes out, a giant of a man, and he makes his challenge. Send out a man to fight me. And they go through this routine, ready for battle for 40 days. And nobody accepts the challenge. And they stand there and look around and wait. Anybody? Anybody? They hear a little bit of a rustling and a shaking, and it's Saul's knees knocking together back in his tent. Right. Nobody steps forward. And this army turns and goes back to their camp. And this army turns and goes back to their camp. Man, I thought we was going to have us a fight today. And we look at that and say, why on earth would they go through this for 40 days? And we do the same thing many times. We get up on a Sunday morning. We stretch. We go over. We put on our shoes. We put on our tie. We come to church. Bless God. Made it to church on Sunday morning again. And the enemy makes his challenge. You're not going to get healed in this service. You're not going to get better. Your children aren't going to get saved. Your children aren't going to get the Holy Ghost. Your finances aren't going to be any better. Your situation's not going to be better. Your marriage life isn't going to be any better when you go out. And then the Holy Spirit begins to make his challenge. And we sit there many times and we come up to the edge of the mountain. And then we have a good service. And we turn back and we go back to our homes. And we come back again for 40 services. And the same devil makes the same challenge, and we make the same challenge. But there's never really any warfare. There's never really any, you know, dying out to some of these things and getting the victory until somebody finally stands up and says, I've had enough of this devil making challenges. And I've had enough of his proclamations. He's a false prophet, but we have a real prophet in this age that spoke forth things for the bride of Jesus Christ. And we have his words in print. Not only that, but we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in print. And I'm going to take his word for it over this enemy, whether it's an enemy of cancer or tuberculosis or whatever it would be, whether it's a cancer of a spirit of diabetes or a spirit of lust or temptation or a spirit of temper or stubbornness or whatever it would be, whether it's something that's trying to keep you away from the truth or trying to tear your family apart. He's a false prophet this morning. Satan is a false prophet, and all his boasts, Jesus Christ said he's a liar and the father of it. And when he comes out and he says, look, here's my boast, you're never going to get better, you're never going to be happier, you're never going to have real peace, and the Holy Spirit comes over and speaks through a prophet and says, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Which prophet are you going to believe? Amen. Prophecies are going forth from either side. A prophecy of negativity and sickness and destitution and defeat and all kinds of things. Yeah. And then prophecies are going forth over here. Deliverance, healing, salvation, victory. Thank you. Amen. You choose which prophet you're going to believe this morning. All right. Amen. Brother Branham said that when that man came, the maniac in Portland came up to the platform. He said he came running down through there and preachers scattered on every side. He said he put a man in the hospital. He said he hated preachers. And he said he came up there and he said, I'll break every bone in your body. And he spit in Brother Branham's face. Brother Branham stood there and himself not knowing what to do. And he said, I heard myself saying. He didn't say I said. He said, I heard myself saying, because you've challenged the Holy Spirit, you'll fall at my feet tonight. Amen. And he said that chief demon had made his challenge.
And the Holy Spirit had made his challenge. Now, two prophecies had gone forth. Both of them can't be right. Either he's going to break every bone in Brother Branham's body, or he's going to fall at his feet. Both prophecies can't be right. So one's got to be a true prophet, and one's got to be a false prophet. And the people sat there in Portland. No doubt you could have heard a pin drop. And he said, the man began to haul back his fist to hit me. And he said, he began to spin around and around and around. And he said, he fell right on top of my feet. And he said, those policemen that he led to the Lord, they came over. They said, is he dead? He said, no. He said, is he delivered? He said, no, he loves worshiping that devil. And they said, well, is there anything we could do? He said, well, if you could get him off my feet, I can't move. And so they take the man and pick him up off of his feet. And he said, when those demons recognized that chief demon of unbelief was gone from the building, he said, everything that was in the building was healed. Wheelchairs, people in wheelchairs stood up. Crutches were thrown away. Everything in the building was healed because they recognized their Goliath had been defeated. It takes something like that. When there's a cry that goes forth and they come and we put the battle in array and the devil and all of his legions come and they begin to tell you, you're too tired to go to church. You can't get anything out of this service. You've got too much on your plate. You can't afford to pay tithes. You can't do this. You can't do that. You don't have the energy. You don't have the voice to testify. You don't have the voice to sing. And he begins to come in and try to rob you of all these things. You can listen to him and his false prophecy, or you can listen to what the word is saying when it goes forth and says, you're healed. You're delivered. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Which prophecy will you believe this morning? Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, he's saying, you're supposed to be a shepherd. What are you doing out here on the evangelistic field? You're supposed to be a pastor. Who'd you leave those few sheep with? He said, don't worry, I left them with the good keeper. I'm just going to slay a few giants, so I'll go right back to them. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?
Right.
Amen. It didn't matter what his brother said about him. Now remember, this wasn't some demon out of hell. This wasn't some Philistine. This wasn't some enemy. This was his own brother. But yet, he's trying to discourage David from the very thing that David was sent there to do. Now, his earthly father had sent him to bring some bread and cheese. And he said, look, I'm here with a cause. I'm here with a purpose. The Father has called me and sent me to do something. But not only his earthly father, his heavenly father had called him to do something that maybe David hadn't even fully recognized yet. But he was here with a cause and a purpose. But yet, his brothers tried to discourage him. Saul tries to discourage him. Everybody that should have been encouraging him was the ones that was discouraging him. Oh, I hope we don't let it become that way around the message. That the ones when we should be trying to encourage our brothers, go on with the kingdom of God. Take what you got and fight with it. Maybe you believe it a little different than I believe it, or maybe you run the service a little different than I run it, but let's go and fight the enemy, not each other.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Now, we won't have time to get into what those five smooth stones were going to be for this morning, but maybe in a few weeks we'll look at that. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Witnesses, 1953. Little David started, I think Sister Stephanie's class is ahead of me on this part. They've been teaching on David as well. I didn't know it, but little David started when he gets about in the sling throw. He had, watch what he had, five stones, J-E-S-U-S, wrapped up in five fingers, F-A-I-T-H. Brother, he got the thing to working right around and around and around. And when you get faith in Jesus Christ working in a perpetual motion in your soul, something's going to take place.
Amen.
He began to spin it, and he began to sling it around and around and around, and began to build up motion. He said, when you get the faith in Jesus Christ working in a perpetual motion in your soul, something's going to take place.
Amen.
But you've got to do something. David didn't just sit there and look at the sling and the stone and say, all right, come on, let's do something. Come on here. He had to pick up the sling, and he had to pick up the stone, and he put the thing in motion. But then something took place. Amen. He had thrown a stone before.
He had slung a stone before. He'd slung a stone thousands of times. He'd slung it from a sling. But something began to take place. Perpetual motion began to work up in this sling. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost got a hold of that stone and threw it about 1,000 miles a second. Now, I know people argue about that over in the message, whether Brother Branham was just dramatizing or whether it really went 1,000 miles a second. People argue and debate and divide over about it. I don't really care. I know it defeated the giant. Amen. I don't care so much the speed. I believe if Brother Branham said it was going 1,000 miles a second, people say that's impossible. If he had missed the giant, it would have went around the entire world in a few seconds. I don't care what they say or what they dispute or what they argue about. If he said it, I believe it's possible. I don't know. I wasn't there at the service to go and tug on his coattail afterwards and say, Brother Branham, were you dramatizing or was the stone really going that fast? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Doesn't hinder the story any. The giant's dead. That's the moral of the story. The moral of the story isn't the speed of the stone, it's the giant's dead. I can't explain to you all the mechanics and all the dynamics, but I know they work this morning. Amen. Amen. I know the God that delivered me can deliver you. The God that delivered from the lion and the bear can kill the giant. Amen. Amen. But let's just say 773 miles, I think, is the per hour, not per second now. 773 miles per hour is the speed of sound. And let's say that when he released this stone, the Holy Spirit got into it. I have no reason to dispute Brother Branham. I have no proof to say whether he was dramatizing or whether it was an actual happening that he saw down through vision. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that the Holy Spirit gets in this stone and takes it 1,000 miles a second. At about 300 and something miles per hour, you know, things begin to get a little rocky. You can watch these planes as they begin to go. You can see the turbulence begin to build up around them. And then all of a sudden there's this great big cloud. You can go on YouTube and search sound barrier with airplanes. And there's this great big cloud that begins to come around them. And at about 770, 73, 76 miles, somewhere in that range per hour, there's a sonic boom that takes place. And it sounds like you just shot a shotgun right beside your ear. Boom! And it goes beyond the speed of sound, breaks the sound barrier. A sonic boom. Can you imagine this little guy, 4.5 feet tall, and he comes down through there, and he begins to get this perpetual motion working in the sling, and he begins to start a good work, but the Holy Spirit begins to pick it up and do more than he can do, and this stone comes out of there, and all of a sudden they hear something they've never heard before. They said, what did he turn loose in the valley down there? What did he turn loose down there? Can you imagine the demons out of hell when a little humble prophet gets up and he says, I'm going to speak on the first seal this morning? In a little humble suit that somebody probably gave him, in a little humble tabernacle in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and he begins to open up the pages of his Bible, and the Holy Spirit comes down and begins to loose the seals and to take the book thereof and to loose them to recognize what happened back there, that it was your redemption that was paid for and that your name was on the book of redemption. And those demons begin to hear something. They said, what did he just release in Jeffersonville?
Come on. Amen.
Something's going to take place, he said. Sin and sickness will get away from you. Devils will scatter like roaches on a floor in the summertime when the light's turned on. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now his prophecy goes forth, but David has a prophecy. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee. Notice he doesn't even mention his arm strength or the speed of his sling or his sling or his stone or his ability as a mortal or his ability as a marksman. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe David, as these words are coming out of his mouth, he thinks, goodness gracious, what did I just say? You know, I'm just poking this giant and stirring him up and making him madder. But it wasn't David that said it. Amen. It wasn't David that made the challenge. Now, Goliath went out with his brute strength and his size and his experience as a great warrior and a battle-trained man. He goes out there and makes his challenge on his own. But David goes out, and it's not David that makes the challenge. Amen. But the Holy Spirit begins to anoint David, the same one that could write the 23rd Psalm that Brother Layton read this morning, anoints him to speak these words out of his mouth and said, I'm not only going to take your head, but I'm going to feed the carcasses of the Philistines to the beasts of the field and to the fowls of the air, not so that I can make a name for little David, even though he's going to be renowned for years because of this, but so that the people of the world can know there's a God in Israel. Amen. God doesn't raise us up and do things through us so that people can look at us and say, oh, what a great person, or what a great personality, or what a great gift. He does these things so that people can recognize there's still a God in New Albany. There's still a God in Jeffersonville. There's still a God in Louisville, Kentucky, and Sellersburg, Indiana, and down in Zimbabwe, and up into Asia, and over into Europe, and up into Canada, where Brother Nico and them are from. All over the world, there's still a God that's still moving and acting and working.
Amen.
He doesn't do it so men can get the glory. He does it so that he can get the glory.
Amen.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Amen. I want to remind you this morning, it's not your good works. It's not your ability. It's not how much you studied and how much you've read and how much you know about so much. It's not that you're some great demon slayer that you can just rise up and cast out demons left and right. It's not your battle in the first place. It's not about you in the first place. It's the Lord's battle this morning. The battle is Lord. You may be going through the trial. You may be facing the circumstances just like these Israelites were. You may be facing the giant just like David was, but it's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. Amen. And he's the one that's obligated. He made the promise. He's the one that's obligated to bring you through. Why Christ speak 1963? He spoke and went forward. He never prayed a prayer. He never offered nothing. He knowed he was anointed. Amen. He was anointed, and that slingshot had proved the right kind of a thing. He had faith in his anointing. All I wish is the bride of Jesus Christ. He's not discouraging us to pray through. You remember the story he tells about the people on the boat that they were coming, and you know they were coming into the New York Harbor, and a great storm came up, and the captain began to get disturbed. He said, everybody needs to pray through. Everybody pray through. If something doesn't happen, we're going to be at the bottom of the harbor. Am I stealing your sermon tonight or something, Brother Hoover? I'm sorry, brother.
All right.
I didn't read your notes, but the Holy Spirit knows about it. You got to watch these preachers. The Holy Spirit begins to move on this little lady sitting on the boat, and the man gets frantic. The captain of the boat, he said, why aren't you praying? I told everybody to pray through. She said, sir, I'm already prayed through.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. She said, you know, I've got a daughter that lives in New York. And she said, I've got another daughter that went on to heaven years ago. And she said, within 30 minutes, just think, within 30 minutes, I'm going to be seeing one of my daughters. She had a peace. She was already prayed through. David didn't have to get down and now lay me down to sleep. Lord, help me and Jimmy and Tommy and Billy and Susie. And he didn't have to have a prayer meeting right there. He was already prayed through. He'd already spent some time back on the backside of the desert. And he had prayed through and recognized, you know what? It wasn't me that killed that lion. It wasn't me that killed that bear. It was an anointing from Jehovah that did it. And I have faith in that anointing, that the same God that gave the anointing in the first place can give it again. He had faith that God could direct that rock right straight in the middle of that helmet there, where the only place could be hit. Amen. He's still got the ability. Amen. If you can have faith in him, he's got the ability. You say, it's absolutely impossible, Brother Nathan. My situation is impossible. Unless this one specific thing could take place, it's absolutely impossible. God still has the ability to guide a stone right to that one specific way to grant deliverance for your situation this morning.
Amen.
This man had armor. He had brass helmets. He had thick shields and all these different things. There was only one little spot that they forgot. They thought, nobody's that good of a marksman. Nobody's that good. There ain't hardly a guy that can throw a stone up high enough to hit him in the head anyhow. There's nobody that's that good. One little spot they left open on the helmet. God said, that's all I need. Amen. I believe God could have went right through the helmet and out the other side if he had need to. Amen. God makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
Adoption Part 2, 1960. We do not have very much of a weapon as far as it looks to the world, but this little slingshot is deadly when it's held in the fingers of faith. The Rejected King, 1960. He says, our Heavenly Father is just not in great armor, not with the polished spear, language, and vocabulary of some orator, but with a common little slingshot of faith. I come for this soul and this body that the enemy of cancer has grabbed her beyond the reach of the doctors. But I come for her this morning, Lord, bringing her back to the shady green pastures and still waters in the name of the triumphing Jesus, to which I am his ambassador with unfailing faith. You talk about a statement. The triumphing Lord Jesus, who I am his ambassador with unfailing faith. Oh, if we could approach the throne that way this morning. With unfailing faith. You say, it just seems so simple, Brother Nathan. That's right. God in simplicity. I love that we had a prophet in this age that right before he comes and preaches one of the deepest mysteries that was ever taught in all the history of time, he says, I'm going to start off with this series with a little sermon, God hiding himself in simplicity and then revealing himself in the same way. And made it so simple that a five-year-old can grasp it. It didn't go above the heads of the common people, but as they said in the days of Jesus, the common people heard him gladly. If we could just get this unfailing faith. He said, I believe that she shall be brought back by the power of this prayer, and may so be it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again in Rejected King, our Heavenly Father, Satan has jerked this little mother beyond the reach of the doctors yonder. They can only sling a drug out that way. Lord, that'll only tear around and around and hardly make her know where she's at. And then when she gets through, she's worse. But I'm coming with this slingshot of faith, with the stone directed, with direct aim to zero in on the target. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take this nervousness from her for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. That wasn't just for a lady in 1960. If you can approach him with unfailing faith this morning, it's for you as well. Amen. He can still zero in on the target of what your need is with that slingshot of faith. Beyond the curtain of time, 1961, I'm coming after them with a little slingshot called prayer of faith. It's not very much, but I know what it has done. And I know it's still the same God that I'm coming after them this morning to bring them back, Lord, to shady green pastures of good health, down by the still waters of peace, and away from their frustrations to believe on you. Amen. Again, show us the Father, 1953. What we need today is one man or one woman like David who will take God at his word and stand out there, believe it, God in his universe, God in his word, God in his people. Do you believe it? Oh, he is. Yes, sir. He is God's always been in his people. Amen. Verse 50 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. There was no sword in the hand of David. But yet he's going to go down. And he's going to take the sword right out of the hands of the Philistine and slay him. Therefore, David ran and stood up on the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. I'm going to say that in this age, there was a humble little Kentuckian that took the same sword that all these Goliaths had, Schofield and different ones down through the ages. And he took Schofield's own Bible and did more with it than what Schofield was able to do. Amen. He took the King James Bible and did more with it than King James was able to do. Amen. He took the sword that many great men had held before him, but they had went off and they had found all kinds of fanaticism. They had run off into baptizing in titles and ordaining women preachers and all these different things. And he takes that same sword out of their hand and he begins to go through and defeat giants and to restore the word back. I want to tell you this morning, you may find yourself in a place, maybe you don't have a Bible that you can reach and grab, maybe you don't have this, that, or the other, but you can stand there with the faith that God gave you, and you can take maybe the one that's disputing the message or coming against it or coming against you or your family, and you can say, let me see that King James you got in your hand there. Let me begin to tell you about predestination. Let me begin to tell you about foreordination. Let me begin to tell you about the serpent seed and the mystery of the Godhead. Let me begin to tell you about the correct water baptism, and you can take that sword from them and begin to hack away Amen. The very same sword that they claim, oh, we'll just take the Bible. We don't need a prophet in this age, bless God. We've got the Bible. That's our absolute. Well, people said that for thousands of years, and they got themselves out on a limb of false doctrine. But a little prophet comes and takes that same Bible. He didn't say, throw away your Bibles. He said, let's turn to our Bibles. And he would go through those same pages of Scripture and begin to reveal things that had been hid since the foundation of the world. What was it? There was a David that rose up in faith with a gift, anointed, and had confidence in his anointing. And he takes that sword and begins to slay the head of the Philistine.
Thank you, Lord.
Drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. Now, he had already sent out this slingshot with a stone, and it had went and began to penetrate even into it. It sunk into his skull, it said, and he's laying there, and it looks like he's dead. And my, you know, we would look at it scientifically and think, goodness gracious, that stone sunk into his forehead. It's gone into his brain. He's gone. But David wants to make sure that this giant is defeated once and for all. He doesn't want any of him coming back and having to go back for another revival to kill this man. He doesn't want to have to go back to the altar 57 more times to defeat this demon. He doesn't want to have to keep going back and praying through every service and every service and every service because he fell again. But he says, look, I've got him down. I've got him right where I want him. I may not have a sword, but I'm going to find something and chop the head off of this thing so that it is permanently and indefinitely over. Well, that's what we need to do with our Goliaths. You say, Brother Nathan, I've struggled with this since I was a child. I've had this addiction or this temptation or this circumstance, this sickness in my body. I've had it since way back when. And I've come and I've been prayed for, and I get better, and then I get worse, and I get better, and then I get worse, and I get deliverance for a little while, and then Satan comes back, and then I go to the next revival or the next camp or the next service, and you know, it seems like I do better, and then you know, before I know it, I'm right back into the same old rut. It's because you haven't chopped the head of the thing off yet. Oh, you may have wounded it, and you know, then it gets back up and knocks you back down again. Then you wound it and knock it down again. While you've got the thing down, why don't you just chop the head off of it?
Right.
And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. Now, he doesn't just leave it laying back there to rot, but he begins to pack this thing around with him. And Brother Branham said in one quote, he said, can you imagine the size of this man's head? He said it would have been about the size of a bathtub. You just go and you search giant. And let's see, I'm trying to think. Giant and tub, I think, should bring it up. If you search those two words in the message. He said this man's head would have been about the size of a tub. And this little 14-year-old boy gets this thing, wraps the hair around his arm, and he begins to pack this thing to Jerusalem.
Come on.
What are you doing, David? Why don't you just leave it out there to rot? No, I want proof of this testimony. I'm going to take it everywhere I go. I'm going to show him in Jerusalem. I'm going to show Saul. When he goes down, he meets Saul. He's got this head of this giant with him, dragging it around. What is this? This is my testimony.
Right.
That thing is a mess. That is ugly and decaying and rotten and stinking, but it's my testimony. Oh, brother, you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have shared that. You know, that might offend somebody, or that might upset somebody. Oh, yeah, but there might be somebody else that needs some deliverance. There might be somebody else that's facing a giant that needs to know. Lust and pornography and alcohol and drugs and all these things. There's deliverance for these things. Look, this is what I used to be. This is what I used to be living under bondage to. I used to be afraid of this thing. I used to live under fear. I used to live under this. But look, not anymore. I got a testimony. I'm packing it with me to show people giants can be killed. Demons can be taken away. People can be delivered. I've got a testimony. Oh, my. Verse 57. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. If the musicians would come this morning. Brother Ram says this in One in a Million, 1965. We have no great genius among us, Lord. We are simple people with a simple little prayer. But we are coming this morning after Father's sheep. That woman that has walked the streets miserably, smoking cigarettes, trying to find peace through the cigarette. That man who has smelled the glass and tried to set it back. But the enemy holds him tight. That boy or girl that's tried to do right, that just can't find strength to break away from the wrong thing. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus. To claim that sheep this morning, we defy the enemy because it's a simple thing, a slingshot, a prayer. But we're coming to bring that one back to the Father's fold that we might give an account of those things that's been committed to our hand. May the power of God now strike faith down in the hearts of the people. And may that lost soul return this morning.
Amen.
May the temptations of this life turn him away. Let him go. And may he find himself safely upon the Master's shoulders, being carried back to safety again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Maybe you've been facing Goliaths in your path. Maybe you've been facing financial situations, physical needs, spiritual needs. Maybe you've been lied to by the devil. Maybe he's come and made his false prophecies and saying the days of miracles are past, or that was only for some other age, or you don't have what it takes. You're too young. You're too old. You're too weak. You're too unspiritually experienced. He's tried to tell you all kinds of different lies to keep you away from victory. He's tried to rob you of your faith. He's tried to rob you of your health. He's tried to rob you of your family. But I don't care how much the giant boasts. I don't care what his size is. I don't care how experienced he is compared to us. There's still power in the name of Jesus. We can still defeat these giants, not because of our own ability, not because of our own training, but because the same Holy Spirit that could get in that sling and in that stone and in the hands of a little boy that couldn't hardly pick up the sword, it was so large, to chop the head off of this giant, the same Holy Spirit that anointed him to the point that he recognized the anointing and had faith in his anointing, can anoint you this morning. Not just up here on the platform, but he can anoint you. Why don't you lay your hand over on somebody beside you there? Why don't you recognize that God has called you to something? God has called you to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe not in the same capacity as the prophet, or maybe not even in the same capacity as a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or a teacher. But he's called you in some capacity. He's anointed you. He's anointed this church. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. He's anointing you this morning. Why don't you pray for that person you got your hand laid over on him? Say, Lord, I'm not much in myself and my own ability. I don't have very much. I don't have much ability. I don't have much strength of my own. I may not be very talented. I may not be exactly, Lord, the type of person that I would expect for you to use. But Lord, that's the type of people you've used all down through ages, was people that nobody expected to be used. Little Davids and Gideons and people that was the least of the least. Lord, we recognize that your prophet told us that when the weakest of Christians begins to go to their knees, that Satan begins to tremble. Lord, so we may be some of the weakest ones on the face of the earth here in Laodicea today. I don't know. Lord, I don't have a meter to judge weak Christians and medium Christians and strong Christians. But even if we're the weakest Christians on the face of the earth, Father, when we go to prayer, we've got Satan trembling. Lord, we pray for these here this morning. Lord, we may not have a lot that we can go after them with. Lord, we may not have a lot of wisdom. We may not have we may not have memorized the whole Bible or the whole message. And we may not be able to quote it all like some people. But Father, we go with this little humble slingshot of faith and of prayer, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. We come with this little slingshot of faith, Lord, in what the prophet said, that the right mental attitude towards any divine gift, towards any divine promise, would bring it to pass. Lord, we come knowing, Lord, as the word said, knowing that you came from God and went to God. Lord, we know that every promise in the book is ours. Lord, we accept that this morning by faith. And Lord, for the needs of these different ones, Father, Lord, for the needs of the different ones, Lord, what they're facing, Father, the conditions that they're going through, the circumstances that they're facing, Lord Jesus, the needs in their life, Father, we go with this slingshot of faith to each one, Father. Lord, we speak deliverance. Lord, we speak victory. We speak healing, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray for each one. Lord, as our inadequate hands go by, Father, and Lord, touch the different ones, Lord, that are near us. Lord, we recognize, Father, that it's not our own ability, Father, that is able to perform anything. There's nothing worthy in our hands. There's nothing worthy in our life or in our intelligence. Father, we're no more than anyone else. As Brother Benham said, we have no great we have no great intellectuals among us or things like that. But Father, we come with this humble slingshot of prayer of faith. Lord, we come this morning believing and accepting, Father, what you did for us. Lord Jesus, we come boldly before the throne of grace, Father. Lord, for each one, for each need, Lord, we go with this slingshot of faith. Lord, we pray for these that we have our hands upon, Father. Lord, for their needs, for their situations, for their giants that they're facing in their life. Lord, maybe some of them are going through things, Lord, more difficult than they've ever faced in their life, and Satan has tried, just like you told Peter when you were here on earth, he's tried to sift them like wheat. He's tried to do everything he can to discourage them. He's tried to do everything he can to tear them down and tear them apart and to try to discourage them and try to get them to give up, Father. But Lord, we go after them this morning with a slingshot of faith. Lord, for those loved ones that they're praying for. Lord, for the physical needs in their bodies, for the financial needs, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, for the family situations, for those that need deliverance from trials and temptations and addictions, we go after them this morning with the slingshot of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every demon of doubt and unbelief. We rebuke every demon of sickness and torment and addiction and persecution and temptation, Father. Lord, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, not by our own strength, not by our might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, we're inadequate in our own selves. Lord, we don't have the ability. Lord, we don't have the knowledge to use the spear and the sword and the shield, Lord, in the way that maybe some that are trained more would be able to, Lord, but we have an anointing that you've called us as the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, we have faith in that anointing this morning. Lord, may we speak the word to these that have needs. May we speak deliverance and healing, victory. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, may we speak that to them this morning. Lord, not through our own lips or our own intellects, but Lord, may it be the Holy Spirit speaking good things through us, Father, prophesying through us of deliverance and healing and victory. Lord, Satan has gone forth with his prophecy that they'll never make it, that they'll never receive their healing, that they'll never receive victory, that they'll never be delivered, that they'll never be saved and filled. But Lord, the Holy Spirit sends forth a prophecy this morning that there is still deliverance and healing and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if they could just lift up that little slingshot of faith, oh, it may not seem very much, but when it's held in those five fingers of faith, Father, it can conquer every demon. It can conquer every sickness. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we go this morning by faith and speak to these needs. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, life is a few days of trouble. A wise man once said, oh, but I'll not complain, for I'm sheltered and I fed. Oh, but many's the trial my wants and my dreams be through. Oh, but then I'm reminded that this dear Lord is in you. Help me sing it this morning. Oh, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Sit there and let it pass you by.
The higher I soar in my dreams, the harder I fall.
Oh, recognize his presence here this morning.
And sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all.
I am the Lord, your healer. I
sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am
closer, Lord.
myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, my Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Oh, Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Oh, I give myself away. Lord, I give myself away, so you, however you want to use me, Lord. Oh, I give myself away. Lord, I give myself away, so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a
myself.
It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's
stand and sing it once more.